Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to meditate today on some verses from an Old Testament prophet, one of the minor prophets with a major message. His name was Haggai. We read Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful attention and thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, the oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel son of Shealtiel, Joshua son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is still Emmanuel, God with us, dear children of the Heavenly Father. Some years ago in a church council meeting, we call it Board for Lay Ministry, one of the members told all the rest of us we were crazy. He was right. We were about to sign legal papers granting an easement on our property of about 3 acres out of our 7. If you look out toward the east, a little to the south, there's a ball diamond down there, the lower area. And the drainage authority wanted to turn that into a holding pond. And they wanted us to sign the papers that would grant that. They were going to put a fence around it and special soil in there, you know, so it'll percolate down and clean out before it gets into the water table. All those wonderful things for drainage that the engineers come up with. And we were ready. And we were crazy. This member clearly told us, you don't need to sign those papers. You know what we needed? We needed a building permit in order to move the garage. Because we were going to build an education wing, we had to get the garage over a little bit. If you go out on the north side of the building here, you can see a cement pad where it used to sit. We moved it over. That made room for the education building. We did not have to sign off 3 acres of our property. If we had done that, we would have lost the possibility of maybe someday building a Lutheran day school, because you need so and so many square feet per child of recreation playground area. We're blessed in our country that the government, for the most part, cannot hold legalities over our head when we want to build. Not the case for God's people back in the promised land after the exile. Haggai is one of 3 prophets, along with Zechariah and then later Malachi, who preached to God's people after they got back from that dreadful 70 years far away in the captivity in Babylon. God had gotten fed up with their idolatry and their sin. He warned them over and over again. And finally, his own people were carried into captivity. The temple was destroyed, the city of Jerusalem, and now they're back, and they've been back for about 16 years. This governor named Zerubbabel had led them back on the first return, and all of a sudden they ran into problems, which was expected. Because about that same time, Daniel, remember Daniel in the lion's den, the Lord had given him a vision that the city of Jerusalem would be rebuilt with a trench and streets, but in great times of trouble. So they expected there would be problems. But this was really serious. The government was far, far away in Persia, and the king could just by decree say, no building permit. And the people back in the promised land were now the Samaritans. Remember the half-breeds that were brought in there? And you see the Israelis and the Palestinians today? It goes way back. Maybe not exactly the same people, but very much that same thing. And so the Samaritans complained about the Jews, and the Jews were not allowed to build their temple. That's the way it goes. No building permit, no temple. It's just the way it is. 16 years later, new king, new administration. Things have changed. But not here. The heart of the people is still a problem. The problem is generally not the government. The problem is usually right here in our own hearts. And that's where the Lord was running into this hard-hearted apathy on the part of the people. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. So the leaders were saying, nah, we need more time. It's just not the right time. Not now. We don't know when. So, apathy. And then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, is it time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Look at the God of the Bible, and you get questions about what God is like. On the one hand, you know that God is very practical because he hates waste. Remember that time when Jesus was way off in a remote area and he tells his disciples, feed these people? He's got 5,000 men plus women and children out there, 15,000 people maybe. And he tells his disciples to feed him. Oh, we don't have anything. All we've got is this little boy, you know, with his lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. What's that going to do here? Jesus says, have the people sit down. He blesses, he breaks, he fed 5,000 men plus women and children with a little boy's lunch. And then what did he say? Gather up the pieces that are left over so that nothing be wasted. So the God of the Bible, through his son, shows us, even though he could just keep on making more, he does not want us to waste what we have. He doesn't like waste. But you go back 1,000 years before Christ, and you're at David and Solomon, who built the first temple of the Lord, the one that was destroyed by the Babylonians. Do you remember anything about the details of building that? Only once a year on the great day of atonement, the high priest could go into the very inner room. So there would have been a curtain here, and there was a big box on the inside called the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat, the Ten Commandments and manna were in that box, but only the priest on the great day of atonement could go past that curtain. Inside that cube of that room The stone walls were covered with cedar paneling. See, Americans in the 1970s were not the ones that invented paneling. You know what I'm saying? A lot of those houses, yeah, we're going to update, so we're getting rid of the paneling. But there was a time when this was the thing that you did for kings and for God. So that inner room, that most holy place, was paneled with cedar, but you couldn't see it. You know why? I mean, if you got to go in there. The reason you could not see the cedar paneling is because it was covered with gold. They plated gold over that cedar paneling, all over that. This is the God who says, don't let any be wasted. He's also the God who does not consider this to be extravagant. What is the difference? How do you reconcile that? The Lord's clear. He tells us. Are you going to be in your own homes, building them, and leave the Lord's house still in ruins? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. He says this four or five times in the two chapters of Haggai here, and literally it means to focus your attention on, focus your heart on your pathway. It's kind of what the Lord said last week to us in the sermon when he says, don't think so highly of yourself, but let each of you think about yourself with sober judgment. From down in here, think soberly about yourself and consider your pathway through life. In other words, what's going on in your life? Isn't there a famous psychologist who likes to say, how's that working for you? Dr. Phil? All right, how's that working for you? That's what he's saying to the people. Look at your life. Consider what's going on. This is it. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Doesn't it seem, dear people of God, that everything you do just keeps on going backwards? He says, look at that. There's a reason for it. Consider your ways. There are consequences to apathy. You might think, as a good New Testament Christian, that maybe that's just what God said to his people in the Old Testament. Not so. New Testament, last book of the Bible, Revelation, the letters to the seven churches, to the pastors and to the people. Get this, to Laodicea, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. That's New Testament. Same church in Laodicea, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. You know, it's a wonderful thing when God tells us that there's a problem so that we can deal with that problem before it gets out of hand. I love the Lord for this. The Lord loves those chastens those he loves. He tells us about the problem. He lets us look in the mirror of his law. He lets us see it. We can thank the Lord for the wonderful blessings he's given us here at New Life. It really is amazing as I look around and I think back on how this building built in 1990 has held up so well, and the education wing added in 2004. I mean, what would we do without that? The blessings that God has given us and the way the building still looks as fresh and clean as it does is primarily because of God's blessing with church family group leaders and volunteers cleaning. And it stays looking fresh and new. But I do remember after one funeral, I don't remember who it was, I just remember a woman that was, she came up to me afterwards and she said that the cracks along the wall in the sanctuary were very distracting. So buildings show their age. Over time, you have to look at that. We don't have to rebuild. We don't have to build anew anything. But can we examine our hearts to see if we still have that love for God, or is it apathy? I take these words to heart because they were primarily written to the pastors. I looked again at the letter to the church in Ephesus in Revelation. He says similar things as he said to the Laodiceans. He says, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. The Lord doesn't want to put up with waste, and he certainly won't put up with apathy. He doesn't want us lukewarm any more than you want lukewarm coffee or whatever. You want it either cold or you want it hot. And the Lord wants us to have that burning love of a young bride for her groom, that first love. And he wants to rekindle in that in us all the time. So he says, look at how things are going. Could there be a reason why your credit card seems to have legs, why it's always running away from you? Could there be a reason why your bills pile up in mountains? Could there be a reason why the gas tank always seems like it's on empty? Consider. Look in your ways. Look in your heart, he says. He says, not to us. I mean, we don't have to go up into the mountains and cut down timber physically, right, and bring it down. But to gather those things that we need and the materials that we need, he says, go up into the mountains, bring down timber, build a house. This is the point, that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. There was a time when God got very disgusted with those gold-plated walls in the temple in Jerusalem. You read in Jeremiah's time, the Lord was disgusted because the people went on and on, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They'd never listened to the word that was there. We ought to have a very real fear of not hearing the word of the Lord, and a very real fear of God's judgment on us if our hearts are cold and apathetic. He also says in the New Testament and in Hebrews, he says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to have a fear about staying away and a great joy for coming, because even just seeing you here is encouraging. The visitors that come, you might not know anybody, but the members see you and they're encouraged by the fact that you're here. The young are encouraged by the old are encouraged by the young, even if you don't get to talk to each other. There is that encouragement all the more as you see the day approaching. And what the Lord really wants is in here in our hearts, this love for him that shows in love for each other, and that then is what honors the Lord. So he says, you know, don't leave this house in a ruin. Therefore, the heavens have withheld their dew, and I call for a drought in the mountains and so forth, the wine, the labor of your hands. The Lord would rather bless us than blow away the blessings because of our apathy. So it's a blessing when he warns us about what that's like. But you notice here that there's a kind of fear spoken about that's not the run and hide kind of fear like Adam in the garden. It's a different kind of fear. It's what we would call respect and honor for the Lord. And look at who's reacting to this. You heard the name three times. Could you say Zerubbabel? That means born in Babylon. He was probably born during that 70-year captivity. He was the governor that was back. He's the civil ruler. Then there's a high priest, Joshua, and the whole remnant of the people. Everybody got together. Their hearts were totally united in this, in the fear of the Lord because of the message of the Lord sent through his prophet Haggai. When the Lord's servants speak according to this word, it's the Lord himself speaking. That's why he wants us to come and hear that word. Why we treasure the blessing of pastors who have spoken the word to us. I've told you many times that the pastor who introduces the Wells Connection was a friend of our family from way back when I was in grade school and we got into the Wisconsin Synod, Pastor Bill Bernhardt. I can remember when I preached for him one time and almost in tears telling him at the dinner table how I wished that I had my earthly father's blessing on the work that I was doing. And he looked at me and he said, Mark, you have your heavenly Father's blessing. He always had a way, and he did that in his sermons too, where he would comfort our spirits after he showed us our sin, but he would always comfort our spirits with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those men are very dear to my heart because that's where I first heard the gospel, the good news of my sins forgiven, at least in its simple purity of total forgiveness, full and free. You treasure that. And that's what got through to their hearts. The two stages on these three groups of people. First, they feared the Lord, and then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave them this message. Ani itecha, ani itechem. Just two words in Hebrew. It takes us four words to say it in English. This is it. Is this simple enough? I am with you. If you have that from God, what more do you need? I am with you. God wants everyone here to be assured of this. If you're hearing this today, God wants you to know, I am with you. It's like little kids when they're sleeping at night and they wake up and they're afraid. All they need to hear is mom or dad say softly, I'm here. And they're fine. When you hear the Lord say, I am with you, you know he's with you in a comforting way and a smiling face. He knows you, he knows your sin, but he washed all that away. With the blood of Christ, even the apathy of our hearts washed away. The coldness, the hardness, the lukewarmness, hot when we're not supposed to be, all of that washed away in the blood of Christ. And so because of Jesus, God's face is smiling. He even says to all of us in the Great Commission, I am with you as a congregation. I know the challenges you face, the difficult economic times and all that. I know, but I am with you. So he says in that Great Commission, therefore, while going, in all your going, wherever you go in your life, disciple all the ethnic groups. Two ways. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to guard and treasure all things, as many as I have commanded you. And here's the promise. Surely, I will be with you all the days to the gathered goal of the ages. So today, we have the Lord's assurance, I am with you. Do we need more than that as in the coming weeks we look at what the decorating committee has come up with in their research? In our long-range planning meeting, there were people saying, well, we wish we could hear what the decorating committee... Well, it's coming. The Board for Lay Ministry heard about it this week, and you'll hear more in coming weeks. But we just want to go to the God's Word here today and bring with us the apathy and whatever hardness we have and leave it here at the altar at the foot of Jesus Christ and say, God, deliver me of that. Give me a heart that burns brightly for you. Give us this among our leadership, pastor and people, our congregation together, so that with the resources that God has given us, we can do this one thing. Glorify God. It's not so important what it looks like to these human eyes. God always looks here. He wants to see what's in the heart. And he will be pleased as he leads and guides us, as long as it's all for God, all to his praise, all to his glory. It's a call to build the house of the Lord. More than that, it's a call to glorify his name. Amen.